Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we are once again going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true stories sent in by viewers just like you. This time it's from deep within the woods while camping. If you have a camping story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Joining me today reading story number 2 is my friend, Dead Leaf Clover. She has a great voice and a new channel that she narrates quite a few things on, so if you enjoy her voice, please show her some support and check her out. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. Hey Swamp, you don't know me, but I've been a big fan for a very long time. Anyway, I have a story. My family and I go camping every year in Money Creek, past Index in Washington. This happened 2 years ago, and it's still something that bothers me deeply, as I was only 16 at the time it happened. Here's some background though. It was windy and cold. I believe fall was right around the corner because we were late for camping. I only remember this because the air was crisp. I woke up at around 3 in the morning. I looked at my phone and after I adjusted to being blinded, I saw it was only a few minutes past. My family was asleep, so I thought it was a perfect time to smoke a cigarette. We were in the multifamily site, so being across from the bathrooms gave me a good excuse to leave. I grabbed my last smoke and took off after bundling up, hooking a right and following the road to the other side of the grounds. As I started smoking, I started to get this feeling of kind of feeling sick. Dreadful, even. Coming up on the other side of the bathrooms, I stopped and looked around, as I felt something was wrong in the air. I peered over my shoulder, looking deep into the pitch black greenbelt. There was the silhouette of a man, I think. It was darker than the blackness around it, and I froze. I looked about an inch up, where a face should have been. All I saw were two white dots, and they were staring into me. Like they were staring straight into my soul. I went to step back, but I heard a whisper behind me. It was so close it seemed like it was everywhere, but I had a feeling I needed to run, so I did. I turned heel so fast I almost tripped and dropped my cigarette. The thing was only halfway done, but I wasn't going back for it. I was sprinting so hard I was choking on the cold air and got tunnel vision. What seemed like an absolute eternity later, which couldn't have been more than 5 minutes, I was finally back at the campsite. I practically dived into my tent and curled up in a ball. I didn't tell my mother about it until about a month ago. I didn't tell her about the man in the woods with the glowing white eyes.
I'm a little nervous to share this story, because I've never shared it with anyone, not even my family. Anyway, I'm a girl, and I live in the Centennial, Colorado area. And a few years ago, my family would often go skiing during the wintertime. We don't anymore, sadly. My parents are too old. But I was about 11 years old, and we went skiing in a popular area. I decided that going off on my own was a good idea. My family agreed to meet me at the bottom for lunch later. After skiing for a while on my own, I figured I had enough time to ride the lift and ski down one last run before I met my family. I rode the lift myself, and when I made it to the top, I realized there was absolutely no one else there, other than myself and the dude running the ski lift. This was normal for this park, especially because it was around 12:30. Prime lunchtime, I guess. I skied a little bit and pulled onto the side to take a breather. It was like a flat area with some trees and a steep hill to one side, and the slope meant for skiing on the other side. I looked at my watch and chilled a little when I heard behind me some footsteps. I turned around and saw a man, a pretty average-looking man, around 6'2" and 200 pounds. Wearing nothing but jeans and a t-shirt, or her wife beater, I can't quite remember. He wasn't wearing anything to protect him from the cold. And this was weird, because this is a cold Colorado winter on the top of a mountain. So at least 10 degrees below Fahrenheit. We're nowhere near a lodge or a cabin. There's no reason for this man to be dressed the way he was. He wasn't even wearing shoes. Anyway, he looked at me, and it felt like hours, though it was likely about 10 seconds. He turns around and walks back into the woods. The cold woods. After I lose sight of him, I ski back down to the bottom of the mountain and realize I'm shaking. I'm freezing. I find my parents, and after I eat, decide to go ski again. I know it sounds stupid, but I wasn't going to let a day of skiing go to waste. But I didn't see a trace of that man again that day.
Fifth grade was one hell of a year for me. Geometry Dash 2.0 and Minecraft 1.9 were released. I got my first taste of real gaming when I got a PS4 for Christmas, and I even switched schools halfway through the year, causing me to meet a lot of new people, and a lot of my new friends who would become the basis of my social circle that would eventually lead me to become one of the more popular kids in my high school today. However, I also had a pretty creepy encounter with some random guy that year too. Back in November of 2015 when I was in 5th grade, my family and I went on a road trip through Texas, stopping at various camping sites. Our first stop was at Sonora State Park. We stayed there for one night and would be leaving the next morning to go to Balmorhea State Park. The next morning, I went on a bike ride to the restroom and saw a random guy waving at me from his campsite. Taking this as a friendly gesture, I waved back at him and continued on pedaling down to the bathrooms. I did my business and started to bike back to my campsite when the same guy shouted, "Hey kid, over here!" I slowed down to a stop but kept my distance because of the stranger danger. "Yeah?" I shouted back. The guy said, "Do you have a girlfriend?" And I replied, "No." He then said, "Well, I have my daughter down here with me, and I can hook you up with her. Why don't you come down here so you can meet her?" The guy had nothing set up, no tent, no trailer, and the only thing that was at his campsite was a truck with clear windows. I did not see a girl at all. This realization sent a sudden rush of horror through me, so I yelled, "I'm fine," started pedaling slowly, and then eventually fully booking it out of there back to my campsite. I told my dad and he said it was probably nothing and didn't do anything about it. This story still creeps me out to this day because that guy probably had malicious intentions. Shame that there's a lot of people like this in the world. I know it's not the scariest story, but thanks for sharing it anyway. This is a long one, but I promise it's worth the read. It really freaked me out at the time. If anyone has a solid idea of what this was or if they had a similar experience, I would love to hear it. This happened to me a while back when I decided to go on another camping trip alone. I always liked camping alone, There's something serene and sobering about being isolated in the middle of wilderness, and I always found it relaxing. So I planned out what trail I was going to take, packed my camping gear and my rifle for protection, and jumped in my truck. I get to this trail early in the morning and hike at about 15 to 20 miles in until I find the right spot, and head off the trail to find a place to put my tent up. I stumble upon this nice-sized clearing and decide that it's a nice, beautiful spot to settle down. I'm exhausted at this point, but set up the tent in the southernmost edge of the clearing. I wanted to make sure I was next to the tree line. I manage to get a fire going. I roast some weenies and start to hear a sound in the distance, underneath all the forest noise. It sounded like an animal, most likely a deer, with a lame leg, as it sounded like the animal was making a walking or dragging noise. I felt bad for the poor guy, but it was too far away and it was getting dark, so I couldn't go really find it and put it out of its misery. I think nothing of it, and go eat my food. After I eat, I douse the fire and crawl into my tent and insert myself into my sleeping bag. I decided that even at my exhausted and relaxed state, I can't go to sleep, so I pull out a book I brought with me and start to read it by the light of the lamp. Hours go by and I hear that sound again, this time much closer, right at the opposite side of the clearing. Surprised, I put my book down and listen to this animal walk across the clearing towards my tent. It's really loud at this point, and it now sounds like the hooves are all being heavily planted, with the dragging noise following seconds after, like this deer is dragging something along. It makes it to about what I assume the middle of the clearing and stops, and I hear nothing. No breathing. I mean, just not a sound from this animal. I unzip the tent and look into the clearing. Nothing but trees and darkness. What the hell? Unnerved at this point, I zip the tent back up and sit there listening for other noises. Nothing. Just the crickets and the breeze. I decide that there are a lot of strange noises in the woods, and try not to let it bother me. Besides, I had a rifle. I start to doze off when I hear men's laughter off in the distance to my right, then woman's laughter and sticks snapping off to my far left. I'm up now, wondering if what I am hearing is really what I am hearing or just a product of being half asleep. I hear more faint laughing from a couple of other different directions, all different, like old men, old women, even children. This confirms to me that it's real and I'm not just hearing things. The noises are closing in and I grab my rifle, preparing to fire a warning shot off in the air in case they came way too close. Something about this laughter, how far in I was, the noise earlier, and the time of night told me that this was not just another family strolling through. I was on edge enough already, but then I noticed that the nightlife was dead quiet. Not even the wind was making any noise. I decided enough was enough. I unzipped the tent and fired a shot off into the night. I sat there and surveyed the tree line, saw nothing, and listened intently to my surroundings. No laughing and the forest sounds had returned. Relaxing just a bit and figuring that whatever was there was scared off, I sat down in my exhausted state and fell asleep. I woke up later in a cold sweat, racked with anxiety, and it was still dark outside. I immediately hear two people whispering not too far from my tent. Alert, I grab my rifle and listen to what they are saying. I can't make out much, but I hear something about being lost, so I shout, "Hey, who's there?" The voices fall silent. I shout out again, "Are you guys lost? Who's there?" Suddenly, a huge burst of flame like a flamethrower erupted from the middle of the clearing, illuminating several silhouettes of people just standing around. In shock, I fire my rifle, blowing a hole in front of my tent. Without checking my surroundings, I get up and sprint out of my tent, making a hard left back to where the trail was. I hiked until sunrise, back to my truck, with my head over my shoulder the entire time. Never heard anyone follow me, never saw anyone or anything the whole way, but couldn't shake the feeling I was being watched. After that, my enjoyment of camping alone left me, like I left all my gear in the woods that night. From 1993 to 1998, every summer, I attended a Christian youth camp for girls. The camp lasted 4 days, 3 nights. There were about 200 girls at the camp, and it was about a 1.5 to 2 hour drive away from our homes. Some of the camping areas were tent only, others had A-frames, and at least one of the camping areas had longhouses. The campground is called Ensign Ranch. You can look online to see pictures of what these different camping areas look like. It's really a safe campground, and we had a lot of fun every year. In the evenings, we would tell spooky stories. Pretty typical stuff for youth camps. Apologies for the long story, though. I want the details to be clear. On the last night of camp in 1996, I was 15 at the time, there were several of us girls on the top level of our longhouse. It was past bedtime, so we were quietly telling scary stories. I had told a couple at that point. One with the help of a friend, I'll call her Lily. I don't remember the specific stories from that night, just typical, "and the hook was hanging from the car door" type stuff. After a couple of hours of spooky stories, someone else was talking, and I was getting really tired and could hardly keep my eyes open anymore. Then, some of the girls asked me to tell one more story. So I start telling a story, making it up as I go. Just typical, "on a dark night, in the woods not far from here" type of beginning. Next thing I know, I wake up, lying flat on my back. As I'm walking, I realize I'm still talking. But once I became aware of my own talking, I couldn't remember what I was saying or trying to say. I was fully awake then. I finished by lamely saying something like, "they all died, the end." I looked around at the other girls who were all staring wide-eyed at me. A couple of girls were quietly crying, mouths open in horror with tears streaming down their faces. My friend Lily whispered, "that was the creepiest thing I've ever heard." The girls that weren't crying nodded in agreement. I said I was tired and we should all go to bed. As all the other girls moved away to their sleeping bags, I asked Lily and another girl, I'll call her Sarah, what I had said. I admitted to them that I had fallen asleep and couldn't remember anything. Lily and Sarah exchanged glances and Lily paused before saying, "that just makes it worse." Sarah nodded in agreement. She said she didn't want to retell it because it was that creepy. Now at this point, if it had just been Lily or one or two other girls that were in the group, I would have thought they realized I was asleep, and maybe they were just messing with me. Sarah was, and still is, very serious. She doesn't really have that kind of sense of humor, and doesn't like pranks, even innocent ones. She's probably almost honest, almost to a fault. So I went to sleep feeling unnerved but exhausted. A few hours later, I was being shaken awake by one of the adult camp leaders. She told me to gather my things and follow her. I sleepily and awkwardly carried my stuff down the ladder, then followed her outside. Two other camp leaders were standing next to a tent. They told me to put my items inside, then come to talk to them. Inside the tent were two of the younger girls, 12 or 13, that had been listening to the scary stories and who had been crying when I woke up. They wouldn't look at me, just lay there sobbing. When I went back outside to talk to the leaders, they said Lily had shown up at their tent with the two sobbing girls. The girls were crying and kept saying they wanted their parents to come get them. Lily explained the scary stories and about mine being the one that made them cry. The leaders asked what I had said. I admitted I had fallen asleep and honestly didn't know. The leader said Lily refused to tell them what I had said, and the two girls just sobbed harder the more they tried to talk to them. They explained to the girls that they weren't going to call and wake up their parents at 3 a.m. and have them drive over an hour just because of spooky stories. Plus, we were all going home the next day anyway. As punishment for scaring the girls, the leaders made me sleep in the tent with them while the leaders went to sleep in the longhouse. The girls cried for a bit and then we all fell asleep. They were both gone from the tent when I woke in the morning. To this day, I have no idea what creepy story I told. No one that was there has ever been willing to tell me any of the details. Several years afterward, Lily told me that she would randomly have nightmares because of it. The only other details I was able to get answered were, my voice sounded the same as usual, my eyes remained closed for the majority of it, which creeped them out even more, and the story was coherent and made sense up until the end when I had lamely finished speaking. Again, if it had only been Lily and a few other girls, I would have been thinking that they were just screwing with me. Sarah and most of the other girls that were there though, including the one that cried most of the night, even being a part of a prank on me just doesn't seem probable. I'm from Belfast, Ireland. I have a large group of friends, and we would always have sleepovers at my house. This is the story of how one camp out at my back garden went all wrong. I live in a nice neighborhood, mostly with old people in it. It was around Easter, and in my school, we get a week and a half off for the Easter break. Just before school ended, we decided to have a camp out in my back garden because I recently got a new tent that could fit probably my whole entire friend group into it. It was the Saturday after we finished, and we all met up at my house around 7 o'clock. We ordered pizza, made marshmallows around the fire, and all in all, we had fun. At around 12:30, we decided to crawl into the tent and play some card games as it was getting quite cold outside. I dealt all 13 decks and we began a game of Jack. After around 5 different card games, we all ordered some food and climbed into bed to wait on it coming. We got a text message saying it would be there in around 40 minutes, so we all could relax for a while. The food came and we all went outside to sit around the fire to eat it. I have a large back garden, and we were at the bottom of it, so we weren't afraid of waking up my parents by singing and talking loudly. After finishing our food, we got back into the tent and decided to get some rest. When everyone had drifted off to sleep, I was awoken by a strange sound, a sort of whistling sound. I brushed it off as being me dreaming, but around 2 minutes later, there it was again. Every 2 minutes or so, it would happen. Just kind of the same, over and over. I woke up my friend and told her to listen. Straight after I said that, there was a different kind of whistle, and it came from the other side of the tent. This was when we decided to wake everyone up. After around 10 minutes of listening to the whistling going back and forth, we heard footsteps coming from behind the tent. The crunching of leaves made us all fall silent. We were still, as rocks, not moving an inch. 1, 2, 3, run, I whispered in a frantic voice. All 13 of us sprinted the 15 seconds to my back door. We unlocked the door with my key that my mama gave us and we all ran in. We looked out the window and all could have just slightly make out 3 human figures at the bottom of my garden. We all slept in the living room that night, and I have never had another camp out in my back garden again. It probably isn't that creepy, but it freaked us out. My parents owned a house across the street from a campground. The campground was relatively small but had a huge forest attached to it. Beside that campground was a narrow, fast-moving river. Our best friends Katie and Debbie were around the same age as my sister and I. Every time we had a sleepover or a playdate, we would wander across the street and try to camp there. We had to go up a berm, over the metal barrier into the campground, to explore the forest. Our adventures always involved spy games, hide-and-go-seek, and another, Katie and Debbie called, the Black Witch. Katie and Debbie's mom would tell us stories of the Black Witch lurking in the shadows of the pine trees, kidnapping young girls to eat and curse the ones that got away. So as kids, we decided to find this witch, of course only thinking it was all a tall tale, fabricated for our horror, so we wouldn't wander off the path in the forest or go too far away from our campsites. One day we set out on our adventure through the forest at dusk to find the Black Witch. So up the berm and over the metal barrier we went. The golden hour, as they called it, had blanked the forest. The golden light had cast eerie shadows down the path we wandered. This was it, we thought. We were gonna finally catch her. Equipped with our sticks, flashlights, and walkie-talkies, we called out, "Black Witch, come show yourself," into the shadows. Katie thought if we split up into groups, we would be covering more ground probably and find the witch much easier. So Katie and I, being the two oldest of the group, wandered ahead, chanting, "Black Witch, Black witch, black witch, show yourself. In hopes of scaring Debbie and my little sister to run home. Katie and I would crack sticks against trees, rustling leaves, and laugh like we were the witch. The walkie-talkie cracks on and we hear a scream from the other end. Help! She's got Debbie and me! Laughing to ourselves, Katie jokes, they're just messing with us. Come on, let's keep wandering. About 10 minutes later, the walkie-talkie cracks on. Help! She has us! Still laughing at what we thought was a joke, the walkie-talkie beeps, cracks, and makes an ear-splitting hiss. A gut-wrenching laughter comes through that is neither Debbie or my sister's voice, then speaks, Oh, children are such tasty treats. Their bones grind into a fine paste, their blood into wine. Come find me if you dare. Katie and I panic. What the heck? Katie, this isn't a joke. Who's that voice? Katie laughs. It's a joke, trust me. There's no such thing as witches. It's a story my mom tells so we won't get lost in the forest. Come on, let's get back to your house. I'm sure Debbie and your sister will be there. We probably scared them and your mom is trying to play tricks on us to come home. Just then, a branch behind us snaps and an evil laugh erupts from the woods. The same voice that came through the walkie-talkie speaks, Such tasty children you must be. We turn to see a long black cloak coming through the trees, and we hear Debbie and my sister screams of fear. The dark cloak moves faster towards us, laughing maniacally. We run and run, zipping back home, making it through the house, crying in fear, to see Debbie and my sister watching a movie. We thought the black witch got you, Katie cries. Debbie and my sister turn to see our tear-soaked faces. What? We turned back home when we saw you guys were trying to scare us, Debbie says. Then why were you guys screaming on the walkie-talkie that the witch got you? I cry to them. Ah, yeah, we do that to mess with you too, my sister states matter-of-factly. Then who was the voice on the walkie-talkie talking about eating children? We ask. We actually lost the walkie-talkie on the way back to the house. You guys are losing it, Debbie laughs. We saw her. She came charging through the trees after us. We thought she had you guys. She was coming to eat us, Kitty cries. I nod in agreement. Alright, enough with trying to scare us. There's no such thing as the Black Witch, my sister states. We sat back down trying to calm down. Then the walkie-talkie snaps. Haha, you guys sure do look tasty. Why didn't you want to find me? It was the summer of 2016 and I had just married my longtime girlfriend. Over the course of the 12-year relationship we had traveled to the mountains several times in the both summer and winter times for camping, but also to stay in nice mountain hotels and snowboard the slopes. Naturally, we both agreed this was how we wanted to spend the first few weeks of our marriage. We booked a 20-day stay at a mountainside campground on the other side of the country. We also decided to bring our dogs with us as they have a love for being outside too, and we generally bring them camping anyway. After 2 days of road tripping, we had arrived, quickly set up and settled in for a good long stay on the mountain. It was beautiful. A couple of days into our trip, we had already met a bunch of fellow campers. We are very experienced campers, so we generally attract a lot of attention from novice campers asking for tools or supplies as they see we are all very well set up. We are usually more than happy to help people get situated if they need matches, cream, or sugar, or help setting up their equipment. It was day 4 or 5 when she first made her presence known to us. I will refer to this person as she or her, as we never learned her name. We were sitting down under the shade of a large pine tree at the edge of our site, drinking beers and playing cards, when she seemingly appeared out of nowhere. She was just suddenly right there. "Can I pet your dog?" she asked. Even my dogs didn't see her approach as the very sound of her voice triggered them into a startled frenzy. As the dogs were worked up already, I politely told her no. Then she just stood there, at the edge of our sight, not saying a word. Just standing there, sort of existing, but not really doing anything. She wasn't exactly staring at us or looking at anything in particular. I asked her if she needed anything and then she said no. After a few minutes, she walked off. I work with people with brain injuries, so I've had my fair share of experiences with unusual behaviors, including people with poor social skills, so I wasn't about to write this person off as creepy just yet. But she had my attention. I casually watched her walk off and enter a campsite across the path and a few sites down from ours. There were already a small tent set up in that site, but she proceeded to pull out an even smaller tent from her backpack and began setting it up. The day prior, we saw two young girls set up the other tent and were clearly the occupants of the site. There was no further interaction with her that day, although we did notice that the others of the other tent on the site were not around all day, and we didn't see them return that night. Well, the next morning I am walking to the camp showers to clean up for the day. As I walk past her site, I see she is sitting in her tent, reading a book. The door to the tent is open. I pay no attention and keep on my way to the shower. When I'm done with my shower and walking back, I notice her tent is now closed and is jiggling about, so I know someone is in there. Then she made her presence known in a big way. Just as I'm about to approach her site, on the way to mine, she unzips her tent and I immediately see that she is completely nude. She then positions herself just inside the tent at the door and lets out this over-the-top full-body stretch and held her arms way up in the sky, pushing her chest forward like it was some kind of mating ritual designed just for me. While she does this, she lets out what I can only describe as an exotic moan. It was pretty obvious she was putting on a show for me. I continue on my way to my site and tell my wife about the display I had just been witness to. We both laughed it off and moved on with our plans. We wanted to go hike a good trail to a waterfall. The trailhead for this hike was accessible from the campgrounds, so we decided to have a drive to get there. We just walked the additional 2 kilometers to the trail. We walked at a good pace, so when we got to the trail, we decided to stop for a few minutes and take some photos of the surrounding mountains before heading into the thicker brush. After sitting there for maybe 5 minutes while my wife is taking pictures, she emerges from the trail and leads towards the campground. At first, I thought, okay, maybe she was just hiking and this is a coincidence. She's staying here and this is a pretty common trail. But then she sees that I see her and she stops dead in her tracks and just stands there. Same demeanor as our first encounter. Just standing, not doing anything in particular, also sending creep vibes our way. This was the first time I had said to my wife, I think we have a stalker. Confused, my wife then looks to where I am looking and she is immediately a little creeped out. Once again, I think, whatever, maybe she's just hiking the trail, no big deal. So, we continue on the trail at a good pace and she maintains a consistent distance behind us. Our dogs at this point are a little distracted by her, and our youngest dog keeps turning around to watch her. I get a little fed up with the dog constantly stopping to look back, so I decided we will stop for some water and let this woman pass. Well, what does she do? But freaking stops walking when we stop and once again just stands there. So now we are genuinely concerned because this is approaching horror suspense movie creep levels, and I start to wonder what this girl's intentions are. Standing motionless at that distance and refusing to pass us just ramped up the oh crap factor to about 9, so my wife and I agree to just give up and cut the hike short by taking a shorter loop, which is only another 0.5 kilometer ahead, and head back to our camp. We managed to get some distance between us by jogging every time we would make a turn, and she was out of sight. We didn't see her again until later that night. That night, my wife decided to take an evening shower at the camp showers. When she returned to our camp, she tells me our stalker was in the bathrooms, also taking a shower. This time, however, she was with 2 other girls, appeared to be getting ready for the night at the club. There is a nearby ski town that has a few nightclubs and bars, so it was reasonable to see the girls were getting ready for a night out. The 2 girls she was with were the 2 we saw previously set up at her site. My wife explains that she quickly picked up on the fact that the 2 girls of our stalker friend were not well known to each other. It was clear that the 2 girls were just close friends with plans to go out partying, and our stalker was making an attempt at being friends and sort of invited herself to join them in their night out. Now, we know the ski town well, and the girls kept reinforcing that they were meeting at a specific restaurant before going to the bar. It was currently 10:30 p.m., and we know the restaurant they were going to go to would close at 10. They were lying at their plans, probably to throw off the stalker. The stalker kept asking them too, "Are you sure this place? Are you sure?" They convinced her, and she then left to her tent to finish getting ready for the place while the 2 friends stayed in the bathroom to finish up their makeup. My wife went on to explain how after she left, the two friends were mocking and making fun of our stalker. They were young 20-somethings acting like little girls in elementary school. My wife has no time for that. Creepy stalker or not, she had to say something to the girls for their behavior. My wife calls them out on their behavior. Well, putting all the catty, stupid bullying aside, the girls explained to my wife that the stalker had set up at their tent on their site when they were staying with a friend at the ski town. When they returned, they found her living at their site without invitation. She had just taken it upon herself to take a little corner of their site without knowing them at all. The girls said they were upset with her and trying to make her feel uncomfortable so she would leave, but she wouldn't leave. Of course, my wife asked them why they didn't just report her to the park warden. The excuse they gave me was that they were leaving the next day and didn't want to make a huge deal out of it. So whatever happened between them and that fake late dinner plans and clubbing is unknown to us. At about 3 a.m., that same night, we were all awoken to a blood-curdling scream outside of our camper. At first, I was like, holy crap, that must be a wild animal. My wife is trembling, dogs barking, and I am starting to be curious. I peel back the window cover to see her standing motionless on the path outside our trailer. I get eye contact with her, directly. I had the window cover down probably 8 to 10 centimeters. What the actual heck? After gazing in my general direction for what seemed like an eternity, she calmly turns around and walks back to her tent. I go make sure our trailer is locked. After a good hour and a stiff whiskey, we manage to get back to sleep. So the next day is a Friday, and we have friends from a nearby major city coming up to the mountains to spend the weekend with us. We haven't seen them in a while, so we are excited for a couple of days together. Well, they are not at our site for 15 minutes, and as they are setting up their tent, she mysteriously appears out of nowhere yet again. Like bam, there she is, but now this time she is actually in our sight. I hadn't had a chance to tell our friends about her before she arrived, so they were a little more friendly than I was. She asked me again if she can pet my dog, who during all of this is barking at her. I think I said something like, she isn't being very friendly towards you right now, so I'd prefer you didn't. She didn't pet my dog, but she also just stood there staring at me like she was considering how she would dismember my limbs. She then notices our friend's tent, Brand, as he is still setting it up. She comments on how it's the same model as hers, although a larger sleeping capacity. My buddy picked up on the creep vibes and my general displeasure, and he said, oh yeah, cool, and then kept setting it up. Well, she starts grabbing at the tent pegs and picks up the hammer and says she will help him set it up because she's experienced with it. My buddy declines and asks for his tools back. Cue the psychopath stare down, but this time she has a hammer in hand, adding to the oh crap factor. She literally just drops everything right there and runs off. I go on to explain the last few days to our friends and they agree we need to keep an eye on her. So by this time, the two girlfriends whose site she had hijacked had packed up and gone. It's now Friday night and we've been drinking all day and we're feeling pretty good. It's maybe about 11 p.m. and when she walks over to our site again, she says, hey, you guys seem to have a lot of extra room with that tent and camper. Do you guys think I could stay with you guys tonight? We could have a lot of fun in there. My buddy is feeling pretty good from the day, and all the beers, so he's pretty forward when he replies, did you just propose a gangbang to us? Now this whole time, I'm just sitting in my camp chair with my whiskey taking this all in. She wasn't really taking notice to me at all so far. Then she smiles, she turns her head and looks directly down at me and says, I like your friend. She then turns around and walks away into the darkness of the night towards the forest. What the heck? We are now terrified that she is going to return. I decided right then and there, if we see her again in a creepy fashion, I'm calling the park warden. This is getting ridiculous. Well, that night is winding down, so we all decide to walk together to the bathrooms to clean up for bed. My wife pulls on my hoodie and says, babe, look. I look over to see that the site she has set up on is completely destroyed. Stuff is everywhere. Just stuff, garbage, clothing, food, everywhere. I thought, okay, this is weird. Could this have been a bear? No, we would have heard it. I then notice that the tent is gone. She is gone and left the tent site in a complete mess. As luck would have it, the park patrol was completing their fire rounds and were there. They saw the entire scene. It was just an absolute wreck. It looked like somebody just had exploded a bomb there. We told them there was a girl staying there who was acting erratic and who we suspected was squatting on the site based on our conversation with the two girls earlier that week. We didn't see her again for the rest of our trip until the last full day. There is a great little lookout point not far from our site which has amazing views of the river and valley below. It was perfect to see everything, and it was a perfect sunset that night in the mountains. It was a lovely send-off to an otherwise beautiful honeymoon. Just when we thought we were done with her, she emerged once again from behind me. We were sitting on a couple of chairs that were bolted into place on the viewpoint, taking pictures of the valley below. As my wife is looking through the camera viewfinder, she picks up on the woman in the distance. She is standing in the woods a little ways down the mountain towards the valley, watching us. As her final act, she walked up the mountainside and sat right beside us on a boulder that was beside the chairs. She says nothing, just sits there. My wife has the brilliant idea of asking me to take the last picture of the scenery, and she just gives me a little wink. I pick up on her idea right away, and I position myself so this woman is going to be in the picture. My wife wanted this lady's photo in the event something bad happens with her before we can leave the area. We took our final looks at the beautiful scenery and headed out for our camp. We didn't see her or hear from her again. Upon reflection, we agreed this woman had some serious mental health issues, obviously. She had zero social skills, and we did witness her attempt to make friends with those two girls that shafted her in a pretty terrible way. That being said, she did things way beyond the realm of acceptable social awkwardness. There were moments I thought she would pull out a knife and kill us, all there, where we stood. More than that, the stalking, the midnight screaming, and running off into the woods at night was terrifying to us. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true stories from viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going. Much love and appreciation to my friend, Deadleaf Clover, who read story number 2. If you enjoyed her voice and want to check out more stories from her, be sure to subscribe to her channel. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. I also want to send one last shout out and appreciation to World of Warships, who sponsored this video. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite scary stories from the swamp on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcasting platform out there. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp. We're less than 1,000 subscribers away now to 160,000 swamp-dwelling creatures. That's absolutely amazing, and I can't thank you guys enough. If you made it all the way to the end, comment Kingdom Shadow to let me know that you made it all the way to the end. I really do like seeing how interesting and unique your replies are with those code words. It's always fun to read. Thank you guys once again. And I'll see you soon with another creepy video.